You are listening to the Effective Statistician Podcast, the weekly podcast with Alexander Schacht and Benjamin Pieske, designed to help you reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients while having a great work-life balance. In addition to our premium courses on the Effective Statistician Academy, we also have lots of free resources for you across all kind of different topics within that academy. Head over to theeffectivestatistician.com and find the academy and much more for you to become an effective statistician. I'm producing this podcast in association with PSI, a community dedicated to leading and promoting the use of statistics within the healthcare industry for the benefit of patients. Join PSI today to further develop your statistical capabilities with access to the ever-growing video on demand content library, free registration to all PSI webinars, and much, much more. Head over to the PSI website at psiweb.org to learn more about PSI activities and become a PSI member today. Welcome to another episode of The Effective Statistician. Today we are talking with Steve Dirkse. Is that pronounced correctly?
That's about perfect, yes.
Yeah, about a very, very interesting way of modeling, optimization, and things like that. And that is called GAMS, or G-A-M-S. And I have used this acronym before, but it was about general additive models. But for you use the acronym actually in a different way. So what is that?
GAMS, yeah, General Algebraic Modeling System.
Okay.
So we're the first of its kind algebraic modeling language, not the last one. First and best, we like to say.
Okay, very good. How have you stepped over this kind of model the first time, Steve?
Stepped over?
Yeah. How I came across that model?
Oh, accidentally. It seems like so many of my valued colleagues and friends got into this business accidentally. We're all maybe computer scientists, mathematicians, engineers, but it's fascinating to work on these kinds of problems, to apply technology, to solve problems of tremendous interest to society, to business, to governments. So I stumbled into it in grad school.
And okay.
Internally grateful for that.
Okay. In grad school. Yes. Yeah. So as these general additive models are kind of the linear type of models that look into probability distributions and how they fit together, let's talk a little bit about your GAM. What are the different components of it?
Yeah, sure. It starts with a modeling system that we built. I always compare it to, say, if you're going to write a program in C, you write your program in the C language or Fortran, whatever else, Python, and then you have a compiler that will read that input and then do the thing that you've directed it to do. Mm-hmm. That is somewhat akin to how GAMS operates. There's a language, you write your model in that language, and then model's built and then solved. The different thing about GAMS is we only build the model and then we partner with a large number of third-party solvers, many different people from all over, to actually solve these models. We resell solver technology.
Okay. And when I think about what would be the simplest form of a GAMS?
Oh, simple model. Yeah. What's a simple LP? Wow. Can't think of any simple ones right now. Every time a package is delivered by UPS or FedEx, they solve a large, but perhaps a simple model to tell them these packages should go on these trucks. You can only fit so many things on each truck. It's got to be delivered in the right time. That all gets put together to make a schedule and a plan for delivering all these packages.
Okay. So it is, you can basically have all kind of different algebraic formulations like, well, you have, you know that a certain variable depends on another variable in, let's say, a quadratic term or an additive term. And you can put all these kind of different equations.
Exactly.
Basically. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe a simple example is, instead of filling the Amazon trucks, the classic knapsack problem. You have a knapsack or a backpack, and you have a number of items to put in it. Each one has a particular value, but they also have a particular size. What items did you put in your backpack to maximize the value without overloading the backpack? That's some simple algebra. That's one example of a simpler problem.
Yeah. You could, so basically, if you have, for example, you could have different utilities for a treatment, yeah? And you want to optimize all these different utilities, yeah? Then that could be, for example, something like this.
Yes. My advisor and many others have done a lot of work in cancer therapy. So you have all these different, if you're treating a cancer, you have all these different beams that you can target towards the cancer cells. They're all going to do some damage to the healthy tissue. Which beams should you turn on, and at what intensity to maximize the radiation delivered to the target and minimize the damage to the to the good cells, especially the most important cells, brain, spine, things like that.
Yeah. So whenever you have a complex system that you can describe with some kind of algebraic term, is there any kind of restriction? Can you have only kind of, you know, like exponential terms and or you also have logarithmic terms and all kind of, you know, sums and whatsoever?
Yeah, those kind of restrictions are, you can have as many sums as you like, and size is usually not a problem. So logarithms, exponentials, sines, cosines, all these things, you can do all those sorts of things. But, well, now I have to use a complex, maybe a technical term, convexity. If you imagine pouring water into a bowl, it finds the bottom of the bowl. That's easy. That's convex. But now if you have pouring water in the mountains, well, it goes, finds the lowest spot, but there might be another even lower spot.
Yeah.
And so when you have like a cosine function or other kinds, you're not guaranteed that your local minimum is your global minimum. So the solvers can struggle with that, or we need stronger solver technology. We can formulate that, but sometimes we don't like to, so we have a problem with a particular form.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you recognize that this convexity assumption is violated?
You can get a proof that it's not convex. You can
get
a constructive proof. You can build this point that says, well, this proves it's not convex. But to prove that it is convex, typically people do not do that. Rather, they have a constructive proof of convexity. They say, if you build it only out of these components and you only do these things, it will necessarily be convex. Okay. That's one of the more recent movements in the nonlinear part of all this, it's called cone programming. When you use cones, they are by nature convex. And so we know that we're going to get a convex problem. And the solvers love it. These can be processed very, very quickly and powerfully.
What's a cone?
Oh, well, an ice cream cone. I mean, it's 10 degrees Celsius here, so I'm not thinking about ice cream. But an ice cream cone is a form of cone. It contains all its lines. So you have the tippy point at the bottom of the cone. And any line that you draw that you write from that point is also in the cone.
Okay.
And it's convex.
And so that is a multidimensional cone, so to say.
Yeah.
Because you can have, you know, as many parameters as you like in the parameter space. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And they take some non-ice cream cone shapes. That was the simplest example.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. So now, what would be for me the first step if I now would like to, you know, create such a, I have a problem, let's say some kind of optimization problem that I want to solve. And I would like to use GAMS for that. What would be the first steps that I would need to take?
would say hopefully you're somebody who is intimately related with the problem. You understand the data. You get, if I give you a weird data set, you can say, ooh, that's not going to have a solution, or that's going to be easier. This is, you know, some things about the problem. That's going to help tremendously. And then first you have an important choice to make. You can use what I might call classic GAMS. You write in the GAMS language, or you could use our newer product, GAMS Pi. Now, this is something that's been out about a year, perhaps. And essentially, you write in Python. You don't write in GAMS. So it's Pythonic. And if you're a Python person, that means a lot to you. The thought processes are a little bit GAMS-like, which is what makes it such a powerful modeling paradigm. But you do it all in Python. Syntax, build environment, editor, everything.
And can I download all the software that I need just from your homepage?
Everything is available, free download, some free licenses of different sizes available for different amounts of time. So, of course, at some point, you will wind up paying to use it. But we have a great academic program, models of unlimited size with GAMS Pi, renewable at absolutely no cost. So that's pretty powerful. It's really easy to get started. So we're pretty free about letting people access things.
Awesome. So I'll put the link to your homepage in it. And there you can then under the menu button download, get all these kind of different software tools. I think there's also a lot of documentation and training that you provide, isn't it?
Yes, extensive documentation, and you can never have enough YouTube videos, no matter how many you have. People want more, but we have several, quite a few. Yes.
Is there any specific YouTube video you would recommend starting with?
Say again?
Is there any recommended YouTube video that you would start with as a first one to get into?
I have to say, I haven't been spending a lot of time with the starter videos myself, so I can't point you to any one in particular. And it all depends on where you're starting from. We have users, if you're going with the Python track, you want something Pythonic. If you're going more classic GAMS, you want something like that. GAMS users are very eclectic, so there's hard to target a very large segment with any one video.
Okay, very good. So we have talked about all these kind of different parts of the model that you can basically need to, you know, make sure you understand the problem, all the different components of the problem and how they relate to each other. So all the different variables that you have in the problem, like you mentioned kind of the number of trucks and some number of boxes or, you know, the different values of these, and have a system so that you can find a convex version of the problem so that you can solve and, you know, find the minimal point of also optimal point in it. And there's software available that you can first test for free and, you know, apply it to your model in the academic space. It's, you know, endless free, if I understand it correctly.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of opportunity for solving complex problems in, you know, in our field. It is really about solving the mathematical problems. It's not about fitting data in here, isn't it?
Fundamentally, it's more about solving a well-posed or whatever posed problem. In a real application, I mean, if you sit down with a large group of people in the whole group just needs to make it work and deliver some good answers to an actual problem, not the model, but to a real situation. It is about data fitting sometimes. Yep. Any large project I've done, you are never delivered pristine data. Anybody that tells you that is a liar or has never done a project before. So you have to clean it up. You have to maybe throw out outliners. You have to do some massaging to get started. That's almost always the case. So data fitting in some sense is a precursor to modeling work. And we have a lot of tools that make that possible, but that is not really what GAMS is all about.
Okay. So if you basically model basically using statistical modeling techniques, you model all your different functions. And then you find within these functions, you find an optimum parameter.
Yeah, you could say that.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And so for that, of course, you know, we can rely on all the classical things that we have, like logistic regression, linear regression, transform our data as we like, so that we can fit the different models. And then the model outputs, so basically the functions that you get from the models, go into GEMS. Is that my correct understanding?
I guess you don't so much build functions. It's more, usually I think of it as you, maybe you estimate parameters, for example, in economics, where a lot of our models are coming from. You build, you might decide, I'm using a constant elasticity of substitution function. You know what it looks like, but you need some substitution parameters and some elasticities to go in there. What should those be? Your training, your prior experience will tell you where to start guessing about the elasticities, but there's a wide choice. And so you have to make some choices there. Where you get those numbers is, it is art as well as science. Often it's not the form of the function that's up for grabs, but it's the parameters or the actual data that goes into the function.
Yeah, of course. You estimate the parameters of the,
right,
of the, yeah, function, and you assume that the function has a certain kind of form, mathematical.
Right.
Yeah.
And also, I should say, it's not as if one can't work with non-convex problems. People do it all the time, and sometimes they don't even know it. But if in the best projects, the most solid, on the most solid ground, people know that, hey, I've got a convex function, I built it this way. It's more work, but you get a more powerful result sometime. It's a choice.
Okay. Thanks so much. That was an awesome discussion about GAMS, which are not the additive models. Just for to repeat that, as I'm talking to lots of statisticians and data scientists here. But I think it's an awesome way. And so please have a look into the show notes to find all the links to the documentation, to the homepage, to the download page. And yeah, have a go with it. Is there any kind of final advice that you would give, Steve, to the listener?
I would say just engage and have fun. That's one of the things that keeps me involved. It's a challenge, but when models work and you see that solution coming up and you see the quadratic convergence taking place, I always love it, and it gives me a charge. It seems weird, but it brings joy to my day. So enjoy it. Enjoy the ride.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
This show was created in association with PSI. Thanks to Rain and her team at VVS who helped with the show in the background, and thank you for listening. Reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients. Just be an effective statistician.